This week we read the parsha of Zachor. Zachor means to remember. And much of Jewish life revolves around remembering. In fact, our success in Judaism as Am Yisrael undoubtedly has everything to do with remembering. Remembering, cherishing, understanding, and appreciating our past, the events of history that have befallen us generation after generation. And yet, many of the events of history that have taken place or transpired and that have affected us directly, many times seem very foreign from us. Certainly because they are so many years ago, or may have happened so many years ago, that it's difficult sometimes for us to appreciate and understand what that message is supposed to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem above, always seems to send messages to us, therefore, even on a daily basis. Many times those messages take various forms. Sometimes those messages take the form, unfortunately, of terrorism, where 8 innocent children, boys who are studying yeshiva and studying Torah in the yeshiva, are gunned down innocently in cold blood. And therefore, when things like this happen, when they transpire, certainly from a religious point of view, we have to ask ourselves a question. What exactly is Zachor? What exactly are we supposed to remember? Or how precisely is the best way for us to remember? Particularly at this point of reference, at this point when such tragic events befall the Jewish community. Rarely does the parsha of Vayikra, as it does this week, coincide with the parsha of Zachor. And nonetheless, having said that, I believe that there is a common element which seems to exhibit itself both in the parsha of Vayikra and the parsha of Zachor as we approach the wondrous Yom Tov of Purim. The beginning of Vayikra, which undoubtedly introduces the concept of the korbanot, the sacrifices, the Torah, interestingly enough, changes its form and vernacular in the various psukim in introducing these korbanot to the Kohanim. Perek Aleph, psukim Dalet through Yudbet, particular specifications how the Kohanim, the priest, carry out these korbanot. V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola v'nirza lo lechaper alav. This is singular form. And the Kohen, singular, places his hand, or hands as the Mefarshim explain, on the head of the animal. V'shachat et ben ha'bakar lefnei Hashem. Again singular. He then slaughters the animal in front of Hashem. V'hikrivu b'nei Aharon ha'kohanim. And then the children of Aharon, plural, hikrivu, they should sacrifice. V'zarku et adam al ha'mizbeach saviv. And they should sprinkle the blood on the altar. They. Again, we are switching from the singular form in one pasuk, in the context of one verse, to that of the plural. Then again it changes back, pasuk vav. V'hifshit et ha'ola, v'nitach ota lintachea. To skin the animal. That is said in singular form. Pasuk Zion. V'natnu b'nei Aharon ha'kohen, esh al ha'mizbeach, v'archu etzim al ha'esh. Again, it goes back to the usage of the plural. And they should place the olah, the korban, on the mizbeach, on the altar, and they should place the wood on the fire for the sake of consuming the sacrifice itself. V'archu b'nei Aharon ha'kohanim. Again, they should arrange the sacrifice. And then again the Torah changes back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'shachat oto al yerech ha'mizbeach saviv, Safon lefnei Hashem, v'zarku b'nei Aharon, v'nitach oto limtachat, v'arach ha'kohen otam al ha'itzim. What you see here is that in the context of all the psukim, the verses that introduce to us the korban of the olah, this particular sacrifice, the first sacrifice that we become aware of in the context, the directives of the Torah, the psukim go back and forth. They interchange from a lashon of yochid, from the vernacular of the singular, to that of rabim, to the vernacular of the plural form. Why is this? The Ramban Nachmanides is sensitive to this fact, and he explains as follows. I quote you verbatim. Ve'amar lashon rabim, ve'natnu ve'archu. The Torah uses the context of the plural form to place, to sacrifice. Ki b'chol mitzvot ha-keuna yomar kein, says the Ramban, as only he can, that in all of the mitzvot of the priests, the Torah will use many times lashon rabim, the plural form. Ba'avur she'ha-kohanim rabim, because the Torah wants us to appreciate, my friends, that the Kohanim are a collective. Yasfu bebeit Hashem la'asot ha'olah. They are, even if they are referred to as one, that's because they are a group. They represent one focus, one purpose, the concept of servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heart of the temple. And then says the Ramban, the Torah introduces to us the concept of Berov Am Hadrat Melech. The best way, the most effective way for Am Yisrael to impact, so to speak, their influence or their relationship and rapport with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when they unite as one, is when they do so as a rabim, in multitudes, with many people, one people, indivisible, under one purpose, in servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval einenu ikuv. There is no question that one can fulfill the mitzvot of the sacrifices through one Kohen. But the Torah wants us to understand and appreciate that the greatest way to accomplish the sacrifices is Berovam Hadrus Melech, the emphasis of the Rabbim, to exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berovam, with multitudes being enjoined by this purpose of demonstrating their commitment to Hashem in the heart of the temple. That is the maximus way to service HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, there are many applications of halacha, of Jewish law, with regards to this principle. It even applies to the Kriyat Megillah, the reading of the Megillah on Purim. There's much discussion regarding women's groups to read Megillat Esther, which halachically seems to be, if a woman certainly reads the Megillah, she can be motzei, she can fulfill another person, another woman in that mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Korban Netana, La Perush on the Rosh, in the back of the Gemara Megillah, discusses the fact that women's groups of reading Megillah should not be done. Why is that? And again, I am not paskening a halacha here. I'm merely bringing it to the attention because it flows with the same theme that we already spoke about. The reason why, says the Korban Netanel, is one of the reasons is because we prefer not to have or to encourage splintered groups in Am Yisrael. We prefer to have Berov Am Hadrat Melech, as many people as possible, to group together for the sake of reading the Megillah, for the sake of proclaiming and recognizing the great miraculous events of Purim, in which Am Yisrael were unexpectedly saved by the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the greatest way to exalt and to emphasize a miracle is when we do so as a rabim, as a rov, as a majority. And in fact, even in halacha, we have the concept of yochid ve'rabim, halacha ke'rabim. When we have a machloket, an argument between one against a group, we always paskin halachically like the group. Why? Because presumably the group has the shechina, rests upon the multitude as opposed to the single individual. This concept may also indicate, at least in my understanding, one of the grave and fatal errors that Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, made and which we read about on Parshat Zachar. All of us are familiar with the story that King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, made the mistake of not listening carefully to what the Navi Shmuel delineates to him, to completely destroy, to obliterate any signs of Agag, the king of Amalek, his children, his women. He is to destroy everyone. And yet, nonetheless, he does not do so. He leaves the children and the women alive. He leaves the animals alive. And sure enough, Amalek, this nation that's main focus is to destroy Am Yisrael, exists to this very day as a result of that fatal and grave mistake of Shaul HaMelech. The Navi says, "Ata lech v'ikita et Amalek v'cheramtem et kol asher lo." It's very clear to Shaul. Go now and hit Amalek. Destroy everything they have. V'lo tachmol alav. Do not show compassion or mercy to him. V'heimata me'ish ad isha me'olel v'ad yonek mishor v'ad se migamal v'ad chamor. The Navi is very explicit with regards to what Shaul is expected to fulfill. To wipe out, to obliterate, to completely destroy any sign of Amalek, of Agag's army and people. But interestingly enough, where was the problem? What was Shaul's particular flaw that caused him to evaluate otherwise? Well, the Navi is introduced in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul. Shmuel approaches Shaul. He's about to give him this directive. Oti shalach Hashem limshachacha lemelech, says Shmuel the prophet to Shaul. I was sent by God to anoint you as the king of who? Al amo al Yisrael. V'ata shma lekol divrei Hashem. Interestingly enough, Shmuel not only says that I was sent to anoint you as king, which by the way is not happening now, but happened way a long time ago. But he's reminding Shaul of the fact. And by the way, he says, who are you the king of? Al Amo Al Yisrael. On his nation, the Jewish people. Why does Shmuel have to emphasize that Shaul is not only the king, but he reminds Shaul, that he is the king of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish nation. I think at this point, certainly Shaul understood and knew very well who he was the king over. He knows very well that he is Melech Yisrael, or Melech Al Am Yisrael, the king of the Jewish nation. Why does Shmuel preempt and introduce the directive with this particular vernacular, this particular language, Al Amo Al Yisrael? And I think the answer is very clear. The Navi is beginning to introduce to Shaul what might very well be his character flaw. Say Shmuel to Shaul, my dear friend, when you make cheshbonot, when you make calculations with regards to the future of the Jewish people or with regards to your particular kingdom, the only proper way to make that calculation is based on Amo Yisrael. What is best for my Jewish nation? What unites Am Yisrael? Do not make the mistake of making your own personal assessments or of assessing what might be best for you. Every time that you lead Am Yisrael, and when you call yourself a Melech Yisrael, it is specifically with the focus of understanding and appreciating what's best for Am Yisrael, for the Jewish nation collectively. And indeed, the Navi continues in Pasuk Dalet, Vayishma Shaul et ha'am vayifkedem batla'im. Herein lies the beginning of Shaul's mistake. Shaul hears the nation, and what does he do? Vayifkedem batla'im. He begins to count the Jewish people as he would the herds of sheep. This was a mistake of Shaul. Nowhere does it say that Shaul should have counted Am Yisrael. On the other hand, we would say that strategically and tactically, it makes sense. If a person's going to wage war, count how many people you have so that you know how to equip yourself. You know whether or not you can succeed against, if it's a larger army, you have to count the numbers. And yet this was a mistake. The moment that a person counts Am Yisrael, when you count the people, what you're doing is you're dividing them. One, two, three, four, etc. You are making them into separate units as opposed to seeing them as one united factor that is about to confront a common enemy, the enemy of Amalek. In fact, the Torah nowhere says that Amalek made an effort to count their army. All it says in the Torah, when Amalek comes to attack Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar in the desert, Vayavo Amalek. They are united. They are one. They are a nation whose sole existence is to destroy, to uproot, and completely wipe out all of Am Yisrael. Nonetheless, they don't count themselves. Vayavo Amalek. There are no cheshvonot. They do not count. They are not interested in how many numbers are. And they're not even interested in strategic warfare. They come with a purpose of destroying the Jewish people. Shaul should have fought Agag and his army in the same fashion. Do not count Am Yisrael. When we are united, when we are a rabim, when we are a multitude of people, and when we have common purpose and focus, then nothing can stand in our way. Then we are successful. And sure enough, this was the beginning of the mistake that Shaul makes. Shmuel transmits this message to Shaul. And he tries, while he transmits this message, to transform Shaul into understanding what it means to be a team player, as opposed to seeing things through an individual perspective. And after, when Shmuel approaches Shaul, when he made this mistake, in Pasuk Chavdalet it says, Vayomar Shaul el Shmuel. Shaul admits to his mistake, and he says, Chatati ki avarti et pi Hashem. I have sinned because I have transgressed the words of Hashem. And yet Shmuel does not accept this. Shmuel wants Shaul to understand, this was not only a mistake between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, lo ashuv imach, ki ma'asta et var Hashem, v'yima'asecha Hashem miyot melech al Yisrael. Says Shmuel to Shaul, I will not return with you. You have debased the word of Hashem from being what? The king over Bnei Yisrael. Meaning Shmuel tells Shaul, you have made the mistake of not seeing the collective, of not serving the rabbim, the majority, the collective of Am Yisrael. And ultimately, Shaul chaps and understands wholeheartedly what Shaul's trying to tell him. Never take your own personal agenda with regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directives and with regards to what is best for the Jewish nation. Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Chatati, says Shaul, yes, I have sinned and now I understand. Ata kabdeni na neged ziknei ami v'neged Yisrael. Shmuel accepts Shaul's apology and does not persist in reprimanding him only after Shaul says, I have sinned neged ziknei ami v'neged Yisrael. I have sinned against the elders of my nation and against the heart of the nation itself. Bnei Yisrael are only successful when they have the perspective of Berov Am, when they understand that their responsibility is towards the collective, towards the group, towards the nation as one. I was terribly disheartened this past week. I was lecturing around the universities in the United Kingdom, and aside from the fact that there are so many Jewish students who not only sympathize, but are complete bend over backwards to be apologetic about Israel's right to defend itself, and they completely have no understanding of the conflict that goes on here in Eretz Yisrael. But I had a particular episode where I was in Cambridge, speaking in Cambridge in England, Cambridge, the creme de la creme of intellect, the Harvard of the United Kingdom. And I was speaking to a group of students, and there happened to be one particular student there, a few students, but one of them was wearing a kippah. And there were Gentiles in the room, and there were other Jews in the room who were not religious, certainly did not adorn or don the kippah, the head covering. And this boy was wearing a kippah, which I took as a statement that he was a religious Jew, or at least Orthodox Jew. Well, sure enough, I start to speak, and this young man did not stop for a moment speaking while I was speaking. He was joking around while I was talking. Now, it could very well be that my speech was very boring, and that's why he did so. But nonetheless, it doesn't justify such rude and such improper behavior. So I went over to him afterwards, and I said, you know, my friend, you represent something. When you wear a kippah on your head, you represent yourself as an Orthodox Jew, as someone who follows the Torah and the Halakha. And sure enough, here you are, and you're talking in the middle of my speech. I was introduced as an Orthodox rabbi, as a rabbi who had served in the IDF. Surely you'd agree with me that one of the basic human components is human decency, and the way you behave is wrong. Gentiles see you, other Jews see you, and you have to serve as an example for them. And he said to me, Rabbi, don't give me that stuff. I don't serve as an example for anybody. I have to worry about myself, and that's all. I'm not anyone else's example. Well, I said to him, my dear friend, you're wrong. And I see that you have a lot to learn. Because when somebody wears a kippah, when someone waves the banner of religiosity, be it in the form of a head covering, well, then he does represent an example. And people are looking at him critically. And people are wondering how he's going to behave. And when we behave properly, we represent something. We have a responsibility towards the collective. We have a responsibility not to shrug our shoulders and say that we are not examples. No, we are examples. We're an example not only for ourselves and our families. We're an example for an entire nation, an entire people, and every single one of us, particularly because we are so few in number, make a difference. Bishvili nivra olam. Every one of us has the potential to create and to exist and to contribute in this world in a very big way. And what exactly or how exactly is supposed to be our contribution? What is the prescribed formula for our success? The main element and the main instrument for us to have impact in this world is the Torah. The Torah clearly says that Amalek attacks Am Yisrael, Vayisu Mirfidim. They left Rifidim. What is this Rifidim? What is this place when Amalek came to attack us? Say Chazal, Al Yedei Zeh Sherapu Yedeyem Midivrei Torah. Rifidim comes from the words Rapu Yadayim. Their hands were weak from Torah. And because they didn't have the Torah, and because they didn't embrace Jewish tradition and Jewish direction, that's when Amalek came. That's when they were victorious. One of the students I met in a particular university in the United Kingdom, so he said that the IDF has no right to protect itself or to viciously attack the Gaza Strip, because the battle is asymmetrical. Israel has an army and the Palestinians have nothing. So it's not fair. It's persecution. And of course I said back to him, I'm wondering if you say the same thing when a terrorist infiltrates a regular city in Israel and blows himself up, killing 20 innocent civilians. Do you have the same reaction? And does a country not have the right to defend itself when rockets, 45 rockets a day, fall on the heads of school children? Do you say the same thing? So he wrote me an email 2 days after the shooting in Merkaz Arav. And he writes to me and says that I was so humiliated by your reaction, Rabbi, and you should have been more patient with what I was trying to say. My feelings were hurt. I hope that in the future you'll show more sensitivity. Well, I wrote back to him and I said, How can you be sensitive and think about your own feelings at a time when two nights ago, 8 innocent children, yeshiva students, were gunned down by a terrorist in cold blood? Why do we worry about our own feelings? Our feelings have everything to do with the collective of Am Yisrael, of all of the Jewish people. And we have to see beyond our own personal feelings, particularly when we're talking about the threat and security of the Jewish nation and the Jewish homeland. And therefore, interestingly enough, in Megillat Esther, by Mordechai it says, and Mordechai Yoshev Bishar HaMelech Bilvush Sak, he sits in the gates of the king when he hears about Haman's ploy to destroy the Jewish people. And he's mourning, and he's depressed, and he rents his garments, and he places sackcloth on his head. And he's in a state of this mourning. Well, Esther sends to him, "My dear Mordechai, that is not enough. Do not think about yourself as the leader of the Jewish people. It's not enough to sit and mourn. Lech knos et kol ha-Yehudim v'tzumu alai v'al tuchlu v'al tishtu laila v'yom." Says Esther to Mordechai, the message now has to be not what you're going to do, but what Am Yisrael are going to do. Fast together, pray together, learn together, mourn as one. He is thinking about himself. And Esther reminds him of the concept of Berov Am. It is only when we protect ourselves. Our best defense is the offense. And our offense is to unite Am Yisrael under the banner of Limud Torah. To prescribe and to subscribe to what the Torah offers us as Kihem Chayenu V'Orech Yameinu. We have to realize, my friends, that there are many Jews out there who are interested, who are longing to be a part of this common cause, who are longing for direction, who are longing for understanding, who are longing for greater depth and essence in their lives. And when we fulfill Lech Knos et Kol HaYehudim, when we fulfill bringing them all together with one common purpose, and when we unite, not for the sake of destruction like Amalek, but for the sake of construction, for the sake of learning and fulfilling and filling the world with more morals and values and ethics and what we represent and how we live, then we are zoche truly to rejoice as one and to recite and scream as one, La Yehudim Aita Ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Ikar Kein Ti Elanu. Shabbat Shalom.